You talk about getting swagger. I talked to somebody in the organization that said, listen, these two, we haven't had swagger like this on this defense
they're
in a long time.
It's the future. Down and distance. It's on WGNRadio.com.
Going to Murray on the near side, intercepted. Right off of his chest, picked off by Pernell McPhee.
Goes again, and it's intercepted at the 45-yard line. Tracy Porter.
You want to say a little bit more swagger that they're bringing. You know, those guys bring a little bit more savvy as well. So, I mean, overall competition that they bring as well to pick up the defense is outstanding. I mean, I like having those guys in front.
Down the distance, Jared Payton, Sean Davis here with John Moon Mullen sitting in with us talking some Bears football.
Let's get into the positives and negatives of this camp coming up next Wednesday.
What you got?
Let's talk about it. Let's dive right into it.
What's the positive and
negative? What bothers you the most? What intrigues you the most?
The temperature. Is it going to be really hot? My memories of training camp over the years is that bead of sweat that goes right down the small of your back.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, that's... But
what are you looking for? Are there any battles in particular?
I want to see Cody White here. I want to see what he is inside, because that is part of what will make everybody else better. Again, that's... I want to see Leonard Floyd. I want to see what Leonard Floyd does against Bobby Massey. He'd be playing tackles. They're going to probably have him. They mix and match with the pass pro drills. Well, it's not always guard against defensive tackle. Yeah. Kyle Long will be going against Leonard Floyd. Good luck with that, son.
So what should we really expect from Leonard Floyd?
I don't know.
I don't want to get out over our skis here, right?
You know, they made such a deal out of the weight. There's been... Look at Charles Haley, played at 245 pretty well.
There are a lot of people wanting Aldon Smith, right? But there's no Justin Smith on the interior for the Bears that I see, right?
No
Navarro Bowman, no Patrick Willis at that linebacking core. So it's a totally different structure. We did pick up some good linebackers.
I think that's the key, though.
Freeman and Trevathan are good.
I really – Danny Trevathan and Drell Freeman – see, I'm not just a guy that – the first thing when I see a guy or he comes to a team that I like, the first thing I do, especially in football, I go to their film and I sit and watch game film of them just to see what they're all about before I read anything. And you could tell when you turn on game film if somebody's a football player or not. Mm-hmm. You turn on the film of these two guys, and I'm not just talking about their highlight film. You're talking watching full games. I think I was more taken back because I actually watched him. I didn't really know too much about Drell Freeman until I turned on his tape. You talk about getting swagger.
And physical.
I talked to somebody in the organization that said, listen, these two, we haven't had swagger like this on this defense.
Yeah,
they're in a long time.
There's some interesting character. Again, to your point, Sean, though, I mean, what are we looking for at camp? I want to see these guys when the pads are on.
Okay.
Because that's when the line, you know, training camp or mini camps are flex flag football.
Right.
Not to dismiss it, but I want to see Floyd going against
Kyle Long or Bobby Massey.
Yeah. I want to see him going against an NFL tackle, NFL lineman. When he's got to get to the tackling dummy and that guy has said, oh, no, you're not. So those kind of battles to me, or getting back to your thing with Trevathan, I want to see these linebackers' fills and how they, you know, when they go live with, again, in scrimmages.
Yeah.
Everything but the tackling is pretty live. So I want to see how good they are because all these guys come from good programs.
Yeah.
And as you say, they are players. Again, it wasn't part of Ryan Pace's plan, but think of where these guys came from. Freeman. Indy. Playoffs. Trevathan, Denver. Super Bowl. Bobby Massey, Ted Larson, the offensive line. Arizona with Bruce Arians. All these guys are coming from – they're used to Akeem Hicks.
New England, New Orleans,
he was a winner with the Saints. All these guys, again, you're not drafting them because of who they played for because they – and they may not have been the linchpin guys, although I think Trevathan led the Broncos in tackles the last couple of years. But they're guys who are accustomed to winning. And I think they're also guys – again, this is an intangible – but haven't we seen over the years a guy, when he gets the big contract, some guys take their foot off the gas.
Oh, yeah.
Other guys say, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove I'm worth that. That's what I sense out of a guy like Danny Trevathan. this guy's going to be a little maniac out in the field.
And just to answer, Sean, your question about, you know, just what we can expect from Leonard Floyd.
I think a lot of fans, as I said before, they see Vic Fangio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They see the body type.
Yeah.
And they say, can he be Auden Smith?
It's...
And are we getting...
As you said, where's Justin?
We getting out over our skis a little bit too much to say, you know what, let's temper our expectations for this kid and let him develop and grow.
This is perfect for where I wanted to go. Because this is like, this is the area where I wanted to go. To answer your question, it's going to be, what we're going to get out of Leonard Floyd is going to be, we'll get shadows of what he probably can be. Are there going to be times where we're going to watch games and we're going to see him get blown off the ball and push back? Yes, there is definitely going to be those times. Are we going to see the times where he gets around the edge because of that speed and he's able to get there and not get the sack? We're going to see that. So basically, it's going to be packages. He's going to be in different packages and trying to figure out sub-packages to put him in where he can be successful on certain plays, and it's not going to be an every down thing. I think on the other side, on the flip side, it's all about, he doesn't have you're talking about interior on the line, what those guys in San Fran had and what we saw. But when you have a guy, and we know where this goes on the other side, a guy – Pernell McPhee,
If he's healthy,
that changes up the game for him as much as we talk about Alshon Jeffrey having Kevin White. Because if you can have those two guys, we know when he's healthy, what he brings to the table. And this Bears defense last year was totally different when McPhee was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was healthy, not just on the field. I don't want to just say on the field. When he was healthy, you saw it was like, you called me during games. Like, wow. This dude said exactly what he said in his press conference.
Yeah.
That's what he's about on the football field.
Remember, I still one of the funniest one-word answers.
Violent.
Yeah. How would you describe your game? And it wasn't even real malevolence. Violent. I had the flashback to Mr. T in Rocky III. What do you predict for the fight? Pain.
Hey, right?
it was just him. And I think he's one of the more intriguing, fun guys to be around. But he, as you said, Jared, when he was on the field, everybody, it was one of those guys, you think back to the Birds and the Magics or in other sports, who made everybody else better.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Pernell McPhee, healthy, will do. And what a role model for a guy like Leonard Floyd, like Jonathan Bullard coming in. Come from good programs. But you're going against Kyle Long, and you've got Pernell McPhee waiting for his rep. You better not take your foot off the gas, son. And I think the chemistry within this group, you got Danny Trevathan, got a Super Bowl ring. I don't think the standards that these guys are coming into, I think, is really important. And again, pulling the camera back for a bigger picture, maybe even for Chicago in general, I think the expectations have been raised when you hire John Fox, when you hire Joe Maddon, you know, not leaving some other teams aside, but all of a sudden the expectation, we're not just treading water. We're not just okay with being competitive. Remember that word in Chicago?
Yeah.
Heck. I mean, I'm sick of competitive. So when you bring in guys like that, and then they bring in guys from their programs, like from Denver, I think the chemistry you will be a part of that, which is going to bring these young guys along. You're going to learn how it's done rep by rep in training camp.
You threw a name out there. Everybody talks about Leonard Floyd. That's the first rounder. But this guy... JP has been talking about Bullard from weeks before the draft. Like, if the Bears can get this kid, how intrigued. Because he might actually outplay, because of his build, he might actually put out four and produce more than Leonard
Floyd may start
early on.
He'd be one of those guys that starts sooner. I mean, Mitch Unrein is maybe, I think, one of the good utility guys and can do everything short of, you know, well, including lead blocker in the backfield. Talking about fullback. But Bullard, they love, you know, he's got some size, he's got length. He's not just a big body. And if you think about some of the 3-4s in particular that have really worked, and because they're really almost hybrids anymore, because any sub-package, you're in a 4-3.
It's crazy.
But if you think about teams like Seattle that ran, when their front and Denver being in a Super Bowl together, Denver's playing basically a 3-4, and Seattle's playing a 4-3 with the same kind of guy. They got a couple of jumbos.
Mm-hmm.
and then they got a Bullard and a Von Miller. They got some speed guys. So the Bears have that kind of mix, which is going to let Bullard play. He doesn't have to be a 320, you know, Akeem Hicks or Eddie Goldman. They can really have a guy who's not freelancing at all, but there's a kid with some pass rush ability and some size. So now you have a blend of these, you know, kind of Ted Washington, Keith Trailer types. They're not going to run on these guys. Bullard and Floyd and Pernell McPhee, I think the mix is just exactly what it was with some of those really, really good defenses.
Allow me to insert the wide-eyed emoji right here.
Why?
When we talk about the defensive backfield.
Oh, that, man.
Because the front seven, I'm okay. I'm pretty good with this front seven.
Can I ask him one question before we go there?
Go right ahead.
Because I think that you're starting to see that they're really building, they're trying to build this from front to
as they should
to back, mm-hmm. which
as
you
they
I think
should.
Which you have to, right? So before, I just want to ask him one question about one guy, because there's been word out there, and I think that he could be a guy that maybe takes that next step. And we were talking about interior guys. Eddie Goldman, he talks about that he wants to be that guy, the force to be reckoned with, and has a different type of mentality coming into this season. Does he take that next step? Do you see him being able to take that next step this season?
He was, I think, the – I have to think for a second. You know, Adrian Amos got a lot of pub for starting all 16 games.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the gem of the draft was Eddie Goldman.
Yeah.
I mean, Grasso may work out, and Jeremy Langford may be a starter, but the guy who, to me, you dropped in and you got an NFL – that kid had 4.5 sacks as a nose tackle at 335. I mean, if you think about where he began, he came into camp so out of shape he really couldn't do some of the stuff.
Yeah.
It's almost like the day if you couldn't do well in the conditioning drills in high school, you start out with one of the old helmets. You had to earn it. And Eddie was starting with the old helmet, I think. No, kidding. But, you know, he went from there to being a force. And the interesting thing, I think he will take another step because of the way he is. Again, you just spend a little time around, not a lot of personal time, but you can just tell how kids talk about it. Again, they're all kids. When you're old like me, everybody's a kid. Eddie Goldman, God, he needs to be burped. He's so young. But with Jay Rogers and the kind of line chemistry there is, I think he got a whiff of what he can be. And I think Eddie Goldman is a star. And I don't know that he'll be a Vince Wilfork or a Casey Hampton. You know, when you think about nose tackles, really the gems.
Well, you remember this night we watched the Florida State Auburn National Championship game together.
What is up with
and
you two?
Literally, JP and I were literally upset because Eddie Goldman made just about every big time play that was needed for that defense in that game. But on that last drive when Auburn scored, he took himself out, and we both said, "You have to be in this game."
Yeah, yeah.
And lo and behold, coming into campus rookie year, what's his problem? Conditioning.
Yeah, once he's figured
that out. You start to see the flash.
And just to throw in Eddie Goldman thought, I thought one of the most impressive performances in a big college game was when Florida State played Oregon. And the guy that handled him was Hronas Grasso.
Yeah.
So that's kind of in there.
Yeah.
But to your point, I think, you know, a guy that's with the quickness of Grasso might give Eddie Goldman an out-of-shape Eddie more of a problem. But, you know, they're experimenting, but with their coaching, they're trying to find, what's your best weight? Is it 320? Is it 340? What really works for you? And when a young player like that is really getting, I think Eddie's only 20, just turned 21. Right. So when you come in with that commitment to becoming, you're fine tuning, you don't just, he's three, you know, with 335, he learned he couldn't just push Kyle Long around in practice or anybody he played against. I think he got better and better and better. Like I said, the sacks can be exaggerated as a stat, but 4.5 sacks
from nose tackle is pretty good.
I think he was fourth among rookies in sacks last year.
That's a tough.
And the more talent he gets around him,
it only helps. But
absolutely.
Let's go back to what Moon was talking about. Not only bringing in guys from you know, different organizations that had success, you're drafting guys from programs of success.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Florida State, Grasso, we're hoping that he can kind of turn things around this year, but Oregon, where he had a chance. I mean, successful programs.
Yeah, he and Kyle Long, because these guys are used to winning.
Yeah, so you're bringing in a mentality that changes. It's kind of changing things a little bit. So I definitely got to get to that. Okay, go ahead, Sean. It's your turn to bring up.
Well, I already sent the text out.
What is
it? It's the wide-eyed emoji. It's out there on this podcast right now. I'm going to let you guys have at it. This defensive backfield is That's what we're looking at right now. I think everybody's going to come down to Bourbonnais expecting the worst and hoping for the best.
I think you – I mean, that's objective assessment. I don't think Kyle Fuller impressed anybody last year. I think the best thing that happened to Kyle Fuller was Antrell Roll kind of getting into him about he wasn't studying or hitting the books the way he should have or whatever. I mean, and I think Fuller pulled himself up a little bit. But not to where you expect a number one draft choice, a shutdown corner to be. And they re-signed Tracy Porter. Terrific. I mean, under consideration, should have been a Pro Bowl alternate anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And also another character guy back there who I think makes Kyle Fuller, shows him more about being a professional.
It was Bryce Callahan pretty good for you last year in this slot?
Yeah, but that's almost like the found money. And he actually was terrific in camp.
Yeah,
I mean, one of the guys that I was told privately was, you know, a couple of guys. Bryce Callahan was like, whoa, this kid's really worked in the offseason. If he turns out to be your nickel corner, whoa, that's found money. I won't call it lucky because somebody did some good scouting. That would be a terrific. I mean, he played well enough to get playing time last year and that made well enough to probably be the number one nickel corner going into camp.
Let me just tell you this. Sports Illustrated named Bryce Callahan coming into this season the seventh best nickel back in the NFL.
That's pretty good.
You're talking about a gem.
That's pretty good.
That right there is.
I think they heard it first on our podcast, though. They just put that out there, didn't they?
I'm just trying to. Kyle Fuller is the guy that's going to be under the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because this regime didn't bring him in. So not you. That's what you have. That's what you're dealing with now. You're dealing with a guy that's a little bit different in Ryan Pace. And how he looks at how he values guys that he has on this squad. And when you're not one of his guys, not mean that you can't be one of his guys, but I feel like you have to work to say, listen, I should be here,
mm-hmm.
and this is why they drafted me in the first round, and I need to be here. And I think over the last season, you saw him, you know, get better after how the season started, but he's still not that guy that you can say, yeah, we're going to put him on your number one,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to feel good about it. That, you know what, and I don't want to put that too much on him to say, because I don't think there's a lot of guys in the NFL that are locked down corners.
Well, and
I don't think that's a true thing.
That's
anymore.
Almost like superstars in the NBA.
Well, and yeah, one of them, it's like, actually, one of them just retired, and one of the best ever.
Yeah,
and Peanut.
I mean, there's not a lot of guys that you can say, oh, they are locked down corners. Well. But it's for a guy that you can feel like, listen, he's going up against their number one, and we'll be okay on this side of the field.
We got to be able to put him on Stephon Diggs and let him go.
Yeah.
And not worry about him or pick him and just name him somebody or Jordy Nelson or whomever.
And be
and be okay with this. You can't limit have a deficiency limiting your playbook. You know, and that's what, you know, what Fangio, I think one of the best things that Kyle Fuller has going for him is Ed Donatell, again, a coach with a history of success,
mm-hmm.
as well as playing alongside of Tracy Porter, who I think all of a sudden, if you think about it, he's the old man back there. I mean, here's Adrian Amos, who's what? He's 11 or 12. And, you know, they drafted Deion Bush. I mean, Harold Jones Cordy was like, again, almost in that Bryce Callahan thing. Wow, we got this guy. He can play somewhere.
You mentioned Deion Bush. We got the three Deons in this draft.
I know.
Right? Hall, Houston, and then
DeAndre
and Deion.
Yeah, Houston,
which
Carson.
Which one are you looking to see the most? Like, from watching film and what you've heard about them, which one of those three are you looking
to
say?
Well, we're sitting here with a Kane. What do you think the answer to that one's going to be?
We already know who he's going
to
say.
Yeah, Bush. But I also think, back to your bigger picture about Kyle Fuller's not their guy. You know, they get Houston, Carson, and Deion Bush and
DeAndre Hall.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I was just saying Houston.
Hall. It's like they didn't draft all these guys just to play special teams.
Right.
There's going to be some competition, which will push Kyle Fuller.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's wedded to, you know, no jobs are assured. The only guy of theirs is Adrian Amos, who played well enough.
Did you see flashes to say he could be Pro Bowl?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We kind of grade on a curve. Like, if I think most of last year, you'd find yourself saying, "Wow, that guy is, for a fifth round pick, he's good." Well, now you have to take that for a fifth round pick away. Is he a good NFL safety?
Yeah,
you can't say, "Wow, he's great for a fifth rounder. He's great." Well, you can't live with that. He's got to be not Ronnie Lott, but you'd like to have him look as like an NFL safety.
Are these guys going to look better because of what's in front of them now?
I think so.
Because the linebacking core, let's just admit, for the last two or three years has been very young.
Yeah.
Very raw.
Inexperienced. Even as, you know, the Christian Jones and Shea McClellan were just too inexperienced. The guys have got in front of them, they may not have played together, Freeman and Trevathan. But you think Danny Trevathan is going to be a safety's best friend with, you know, understanding scheme and where these guys come from? As you said, Sean, I think that what's in front of them, both physically and mentally, is going to be
Trevathan
a plus.
Is wonderful in pass coverage.
Oh, pass. I mean, what do you need him to do? Whatever you need him to do. That's what I think what this defense is. It calls for your linebackers to be able to do, which, I mean, let's be real. I mean, we're not bagging on anybody, but that's where Shea McClellan was a liability.
Mm-hmm. Just a guy.
C-minus
player. Christian Jones, C-minus player.
Yeah, it was. You saw it time after time in pass coverage where he was getting beat, and that's in that position you need more athletic linebackers to be able to go up against and beat to do whatever they're asked to do on defense. So it's a change for me. But yes, that you needed to see get to the quarterback. If you can get to the quarterback, you can pressure the quarterback. You can pressure the quarterback to throw a bad ball, which could cause an interception or get off the field faster. It puts less pressure on you to have to be perfect. And out on an island when you're either covering guys out there, it definitely makes a difference.
Vic Fangio, known for multiple defenses in San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
So going into this training camp with the added talent, what are you guys looking for as far as the evolution of the Chicago Bears defense? Because it's been pretty basic.
Basic because
the last 2 years. Because Vic Fangio really hasn't been able to do some of the things he likes to do because of the talent deficiency.
You know, it's funny. I think some of what will change, we may not get to see, because he is so delightfully blunt, almost humorously blunt when you ask a question, even in open court. What we don't get to hear are some of the things he'd be saying in those film sessions about which will get guys better. The overall, and maybe I think we may have seen a little bit of this in minicamp, in the OTAs and so forth. What I'm going to be looking for will be again a little bit of an intangible. All during the mini camps, the defense was chirping. They were given, you know, little smack, and I think the offense. Well, I don't think the offensive guys were a little irritated. Shut up, you know. This is mini. I like, in a way, you like to see that it was friendly, but you're talking about, you know, swagger, and I think you're going to see Freeman and Trevathan. I got a ring. You guys, how's your ring looking? You know, not that he's that kind of guy, but I think there's going to be a chemistry that'll feed, where guys will feed on each other. Each other's energy, not on each other, but, you know, that Eddie Goldman will see what Akeem Hicks, you know, there's a veteran presence here. He can learn from this guy, and that's going to make him better. And Leonard Floyd is going to see what Pernell McPhee does. They're not the same body type, but, wow, I want to see Pernell. What's your move? What do you do? That sort of thing is going to push everybody to get better. Again, if they're already talking smack in minicamp, I can't wait till the pads.
They can impart a competitive fire and a swagger that hasn't been here.
I think you're going to what we're going to be able to see, which is going to be different with this defense as you start to get athletes in certain positions, better athletes in positions that you can take advantage of. We're going to see a defense that flies around. And it's going to be that's what's going to be different for me. They got a lot faster.
Well, it's funny to see, which is hard to judge sometimes at mini camps, because everybody looks fast.
Yeah.
You know, it's flag football. Yeah. Well, but if you see them over the years, I mean, if I compare what I saw this year to what I've seen the last several, whoa. I mean, I'm watching Leonard Floyd, and so offensive lineman couldn't get to him. I mean, he was gone so fast. And this is a kid who yet doesn't quite – he's still learning.
They're going to mold.
He's still thinking.
They're going to mold him.
He's still thinking about where he has to go, and guys can't cut him off. You like seeing that.
There's something. A guy who's close to him that I know looked at me straight in the eye and said, he's just at the beginning, but he's a football player. Like, he loves football. Mm-hmm. And when I hear that, I go, oh, I know what that means. I know that means he's a student, and he's going to learn as much as possible.
It comes across.
JP, he said, JP, the way that he can get his body in certain positions and keep speed is, he said.
Hearing you guys talk about Leonard Floyd today, because I made the same assumption that everybody else made connecting him to Alden Smith. But the fact that he played outside and inside at Georgia.
He was part of the three technique at
one point.
He's very comparable.
He's a smurf.
Very comparable to somebody else that plays in this division that we see moved all over the field.
Clay Matthews.
Inside linebacker.
There's a guy who plays at 245. It's a smaller frame.
And he played on the he played for Pete Carroll on the defensive line.
Yeah.
At USC. So you start to see that type of comparable, the way he's used and the talent that he has. I'm not saying he's going to be Clay Matthews,
I'm not,
but